You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
First time shot comes in. Oh, Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's match with Geisley.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake, and you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll be hearing how FC United's women's team fared in their first league match of the season. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with a date for your diary, as FC United have announced that the club will be hosting a comedy night at Broadhurst Park on Thursday the 18th of October, featuring comedy icons Archie Kelly, Smug Roberts and Kerry Lee. Tickets will be £10, with all money raised going to the FC United Development Fund. Tickets will be available from the DF stall in the SMRE at all home games, or alternatively you can call the office on 0161 769 2005. To matters on the pitch, and FC United will travel to the Wirral this coming Wednesday to take on City of Liverpool in the FA Youth Cup. The address for the ground is Asheville FC, Villa Park, Cross Lane, Wolsey, CH458RH. Kick-off on Wednesday night will be at 7pm. And finally, FC United midweek picked up a third consecutive draw as the Reds drew 0-0 away to Chester FC on Tuesday night. To Saturday's match now with Geisley, and with FC United looking to build upon three consecutive draws in the league, it's over to FC Live now in Yorkshire.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Nevermore Park. Without further ado, it's now time for team news. Team news, and we spoke to.
Whoa, before you go any further,
yeah,
you've introduced me.
Okay, sorry.
Someone who's here a lot more often. Yes,
the most important thing about
the analytical,
team news.
The analytical, the professional, the unquestionably more knowledgeable. Staff more Paul. I mean, no, sorry.
More healthy.
More healthy. Very fairness, healthy. Yes, yeah. It's the one, the only, the delightful, the wonderful, the professional.
Emily McGuire. Hello, Emily. How are you?
Hello,
Jinx,
very well.
By the way, team news, and it's nice to have Swamp here as well as Emily.
Hey!
It's nice to have you back.
Thank you.
The pair of you.
For one game only, I'm afraid. Can I also just say there are several supporters that do continue to text. Well, I'm actually in.
We do tell them you're not here.
Yeah, I know, and I don't mind the text coming through. Unfortunately, I can't relay them because I do try. What I try to do is I try to text Ben during the game, and believe it or not. Like today, when I went to meet him at a train station because I thought we were going to the game together and he was on a train and left me. He never, ever replies. I was at the airport in in Glasgow last week with four lads from Belfast and one lad from Derry. And I was saying, we're listening to the game. Big up the boys. Can you say a big hello to all the guys from Ireland and with? Nothing. And I said to the lads, he'll bounce it. He'll say a big hello. Come on, lads. They got the plane. They got the plane.
Silence.
Off they went, and nothing, absolute nothing. You're a disgrace. Disgrace, Ben. Don't even mind, I bother.
So anyway, team news.
See?
Failing fitness test today, Scott Kay and Lewis Mansell, as Mr Chadwick suggested, might be the case on our pre-match interview.
Yeah, a hammy, I think, a thigh strain or a hammy for Kay, and he tried to do a bit of a warm-up, but nowhere near.
The good news is, though, that Harry Winter's back from his concussion precaution 2 weeks off, so he's back and captain this afternoon. And also, there's a spot on the substitutes bench for one of our under-21s, Leighton Egan, who's got pedigree from the likes of Burnley's academy. So he might be one to watch if he comes on.
Well, he's a right-footed midfield player now. You can see the likes of Mike Jones starting this afternoon. And again, he's played two games on the bounce, 290 minutes to get his match fitness up. Can he make another 90 minutes this afternoon? We'll have to see. If indeed he doesn't, you've got the likes of Leighton Egan, who is a replacement for him. Got a lot of quality as this young kid. Had a couple of games at Clitheroe to get some match games in, because playing under-21s football obviously is very different to playing, as you know, Emily, yourself, playing just a non-competitive game. And he's one to certainly to look out for.
And we should say we've had a tweet in from Fan Ming, which just reads, "Swampy." I think he's happy you're here.
Fan Ming!
Chris Lynch is obviously unavailable today, so Billy Priestley continues.
He's on a stag do.
He's on a stag do.
In Portugal, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, good luck to him, fair enough. I mean, you know.
Billy Priestley continues his...
Awful shorts, though. Do you see some of the pictures? Oh,
I don't follow him on
the site. I mean, I went on a stag do, and we went for tapas, and we went for an Indian meal. We had a really good time.
Glasgow. We went to Glasgow. What are you going to wear shorts for in Glasgow?
Because people were walking around in clothes that, you know, incredible. Why do people feel the necessary to dress like absolute idiots and perform like idiots on stag or hen do's nowadays? It's absolutely ridiculous. But anyway,
yes. So Billy Priestley,
might never see him again, you know.
Continues his starting role for SC United on loan from Southport. He grew into the game a lot against Chester. He was very impressive by the end, Billy Priestley, as we know, really.
Yeah, he's a good player, and you know, I think FC are very lucky to have him till January. And I know Chaddy probably got into Liam Watson's ribs a little bit there, because he perhaps didn't want to necessarily let him go, but I think he realised the player wanted football, and Billy wanted to come, and you know, he's going to be a good asset for FC United. He's got a lot of experience. We've got a lot of youngsters in this team, and looking forward to seeing him perform this afternoon as well.
And obviously Dave Carnell's in goal too, and FC Live wishes Billy Crellin all the best, who's gone back to Fleetwood's first team, which is that shows loaning players out to this level of the game works.
Well, the one thing, if he sat on the bench, he won't be conceding 32 goals like he has in FC United. He's a great prospect. He's a good goalkeeper. The experience he's gained at FC United, I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed. I would have liked to see him still here at FC United in Manchester. I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that we could have him back again on loan, because we've only really got one goalkeeper now, and that in Dave Carnell, because I can't see, in fairness, Lloyd Allison coming back for some time yet. It's a serious injury.
Yeah.
And you know, Carnell is an ex-FC United goalkeeper. He's done well for us. But the one thing that we did do, and it's no disrespect to Dave, we improved. You know, and that's what you've got to do year on year. You've got to improve your players, and we did with Lloyd Allison. We improved upon from Dave Carnell, but Dave's back to prove a point. But again, I'd like him to have a little bit of pressure put upon him, because you know, I think, Emily, you know as well as I do, if you're the number one goalkeeper and there's no one behind you, no pressure, it's not the best of things sometimes.
No, I mean, you can say that for any of the positions on the pitch. I think competition for places is important, pushing each other harder. Obviously, the goalkeeper, if there isn't anyone to replace him, you can make mistakes and get away with them. Hopefully, we won't see any of those, though. We know what pedigree he is. We've seen what he's done before. Like you say, it is the levels change, and we are trying to improve. But I always like Dave Carnell and the effort and the work rate that he has.
He's a goalkeeper who, you know, today for me, is get the ball out wide quickly, they'll release the ball, and that's what FC need to do today. But Ben, over to you.
Yes, well, the teams are now coming out onto the pitch, so without further ado, it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. It's FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and the Armchair Army. Here's Emily Maguire. But first, Fan Ming, it's Swampy.
Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and welcome. FC Live, as always, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com, Armchair Army, our friends around the world, and you're very, very welcome this afternoon as the corner comes in near post ball. Needs to be dealt with. What?
How did that get through there?
Well, it's gone through three or four players, the goalkeeper included, looking for a free kick, FC United and Manchester. It was a low ball came across. I think it was the number 10, Will Hatfield. I mean, he half cleared it, and it went through about eight players. And how it's gone to the back of the net is unbeknown to me. But it is a goal, and unfortunately, not to say it's not against the run of play, because it's been a very even contest, the home team take the lead. Lovely back heel there, but well, Jones was in the right place, plays it back to his goalkeeper, and then a dreadful clearance from FC United's goalkeeper, and luckily for him, LeBird is about as good as the clearance from Dave Carnell. And just to give you an idea, as well, there's 907 here this evening. 907 is the official attendance. Oh, the FC giving it away as an opportunity on the edge of the penalty. Our first time ball comes in, and it's a goal. And again, what can we say there, really? The ball was dreadful. Carnell was part and parcel of it. He went around the goalkeeper and slipped it in. And as he was slipping it in, unfortunately, Billy Priestley completely miskicked it, fluffed it, and the ball in the back of the net. No signs, really, of getting back into this game. Some good passages of play, but not really any shots on target, and that's the disappointing thing. I think, for me, the likes of Liam Dickinson may be coming on shortly as this ball comes in. Decent ball again, headed away. Strong header from Sam Baird on the edge of the area. Hatfield plays it back in. There's an opportunity. Should be 3-0. Is it the back post? There's an opportunity. Offside decision, is it? No, it's a goal. And it is 3-0 there. And everyone watched the ball go from right to left. And, well, they were looking for an offside decision. LeBert did look like he was about three or four yards offside. But who are we to argue with the assistant referee on this on that far side? But again, poor from FC, Emily.
Yeah, that really was. It's just static defending.
As the whistle about to be blown, and FC United, unfortunately, find themselves on the end of a 3-0 defeat. A game, really, where for large parts they were in the game, but fundamental mistakes at crucial times of the game have meant FC United go back to the Republic of Mancunia with 0 points, and Guiseley move further up the table now. They're on to 14 points. FC United stay second bottom depending on results. And well, it's been such a promising game, Emily, to quite a frustrating, yeah, disappointing afternoon.
Absolutely. You know, throughout that second half it just got harder and harder. The first half, to be played at such pace, it was exciting to watch for us, and a neutral would have enjoyed that first half. The thing that was lacking was the creativity around the box and the shots on target, and you know, it seems to be the thing that we are lacking the most. That was a much improved performance in the first half from what I've been seeing of FC. We seem to have got a lot more pace back into the team, and it was unfortunate that to have the injury to Thompson and him being replaced, because we were getting a lot of success there, but even that success wasn't really leading to the chances being created and the shots coming in, and that's something that, you know, it's got to change. Otherwise, we've haven't got any chance of bringing the points home and winning games. We're doing well in games, coming back into them and managing to hold on for draws, but in order for us to really capitalise and get the 3 points, we need to be doing a little bit more when we're in and around the opposition's 18-yard box.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was the thing that's disappointing this afternoon from an FC perspective. But as you say, yeah, I mean, Dave will look at that, I'm sure Mr. Chadwick will look at that and see a lot of positives, but also see perhaps a bit of naivety, lacking in fitness to a certain degree. And he'll be very annoyed, I think, more so from the set-piece goals that they've created, and also from just the lack of real quality in the final third. You know, there's stats don't lie, and watching a game don't lie. When you don't actually test a goalkeeper in any shape, yeah, or form in a game, you're not going to win games of football, are you?
No, you're not, and that's evident that we've had at the start of the season, and we're getting certain things right, and we're coming into it, and there's, like you say, there are a lot of positives, but we'll always be there on the end of, you know, results like this if we're not doing something about that and getting the right pairings up front and doing the work to try and change things, because we seem to have improved bringing the ball out of defence and through the midfield has made a lot of improvements so far, but it's just in and around the 18-yard box. I think that phase of play, they need to really have a look and see what can be done in those areas. we weren't helped with having to change personnel coming into the second half, and they didn't get any opportunity to settle into those new positions, you know, conceding so early on. And not a great goal to concede as well. And you could see then in the body language the players showed the disappointment that there was there, and they knew how hard it'd be going two goals behind. Going in at half-time 1-0 and coming back out, and you've got an opportunity to get back into the game, but I think then it unsettled them quite a lot, and there wasn't anybody there on the pitch to really get a hold of the rest of the players around them and really make sure that they could continue at the pace that they played in the first half and not let their heads go down.
No, I think you're right, and I'm just looking at now the you know, the warm down for some of the players that came on, that's going to be going on for 15 to 20 minutes. You know, you want them players having to really sort of like stretch themselves out, work. Those that have only, you know, had maybe 20 minutes or 15 minutes or even 45 minutes. The other players down by the left-hand side. Chaddy's still there. They're talking to a few of them, and you know, the tired players. And I think that, I suppose, I mean, Chaddy's brought in certain individuals, and I think those individuals he's brought in have done themselves justice. I thought Lewis Thompson was superb in the first half. I think likes of, certainly, Donoghue and Litchfield, for me, also did themselves, you know, justice. Billy Priestley had a decent enough game, but at the same token, he'd be disappointed with the goal, because he's missed the ball completely and it's gone under his feet and it's out and it's in, and he's very disappointed with that. So, you know, in that respect... Sam Baird again, you know, doing everything he's done today again has been simple. It's been productive. He's won balls in the air when he has no rights to, against, you know, big players like Will Thornton, and then a couple of other players. You know, just don't seem yet fully fit, and need to keep working and working and working to get that full fitness back. Mike Jones again, some nice balls, but not influential enough in the game, and. On a pitch like this, you know, you want to hope that you can open the game quickly and get a ball sprayed left and right. But the same token, you've also got that situation where Harry Winter has come back and it's his first game back for a while. And equally, he's been frustrated this afternoon. You know, his work rate's there, and you're hoping that you can give the opportunity to allow the likes of Jones open the play, but they condensed the midfield, they worked hard, and they're a good team. They're a hard working team, but you know, the 3-0 I think overall is a little bit flattering. What are your thoughts, Paul, because you've just joined us now, Paul?
I thought that Geisley did work very hard. They outworked us around the pitch, wore us down. I think the loss of Lewis Thompson was very much an issue in the second half, because when we kicked off the second half we looked out of sorts, we didn't look organised. And we never got over the second goal, unfortunately. That was the killer this afternoon. We just don't produce enough at the other end of the pitch at the moment to compete. We need to create more, we need to make more chances, get more shots on target. And the fact that it took us 85 minutes to get a shot on target is not good enough.
It's going to be disappointing for Chaddy, that, isn't it? I mean, Willoughby, if he's on form, you know, we know there were scouts there from Wigan and the like on Tuesday, maybe looking at him. But if they'd been at this game this afternoon, they would have seen a player full of frustration, a player who, you know, worked hard, but was in the wrong place at the right time and the right place at the wrong time. I think, and found himself offside far too many occasions.
Yeah, I think Donoghue's a very good winger, but to get the most out of his crosses, we need to get more people getting in the box. And he'll provide, I think. But having one player to aim at in the box and he goes in the wrong place means it all breaks down.
Yeah, and that passage of play also broke down on many occasions. You know, when the ball's being played up, he's gone one way rather. I mean, sometimes it happens as a centre forward, doesn't it? You know, it's just not your day, and today was a good example of that. I mean, that shot on the 85th minute that Joe Green spilt, Willoughby thinking he's about to put it in the net, and he just grabbed it back off him, and he's thinking, oh, goodness gracious. You can see the frustration there. But as a centre forward, I suppose what you've got to do is, if it's not going your way, you've got to make their back four still work. You've got to get into them. You've got to be like a Michael Norton. You've got to be a pain in the backside. You've got to be jumping into them. You've got to be putting them under enough pressure to let other players perhaps come in and maybe, you know, pick up the scraps. And he just didn't do that for me today. He was on the periphery rather than, you know, putting pressure on their defenders. And then when, as I say, Liam Dickinson came on, we thought perhaps he'd do that. But again, it was just beyond him again. to try and really penetrate and get in into the psyche of their defender, saying, oh, Dicko's on, big lad, he's going to cause us problems. But the number 12, Terry Kennedy, won everything against him, and he's 3 foot smaller.
Yeah.
Not 3 foot. Imagine that, 3 foot smaller.
I'd like to see more of Leighton Egan.
Yeah.
I think there might be a player in him somewhere, but we need to get more sight of him, more game time. The defensive errors will be something Chaddy will be most disappointed about.
We've had some really good defensive performances. Even when we've been losing games earlier on in the season, we could always pick the positives of how well the defence had worked, and it wasn't really, the goals weren't being conceded because of defensive errors like we've seen today. It was more that they were coming through the midfield too easily. So yeah, it was disappointing to go behind in the manner that we did, but it was one of those frustrating days that maybe if you can see that one of your players is having a tough time of it, do you make a change because they're not having that big an effect on the team? Who else is there that we can bring into that position? You know, these are all questions that he'll be asking himself, and they can take it to the training ground and try different things out. And because today you did, you know, I've been a fan of Willoughby's movement and the work rate that he's been putting in, and quite a lot of the time it's because players haven't been finding him at the right time. They've been too hesitant with the passes and not being feeding them the ball. But today, very early on, you could see that the ball was getting stuck underneath his feet, you know, when he was in the right place, and he couldn't do anything with it.
Because the tempo was right for him today, wasn't it? It was a high tempo game. I spoke to a couple of the management team before the game, and you know, if Kay had been in that team today, let's say, the tempo would have been slightly different. We always know that, you know, he brings a calmness and the game slows down. But they wanted to attack, and Kay, obviously being injured anyway, gave him the opportunity. And you're thinking, a high tempo game in a small pitch, the ball's always up to Willoughby quickly,
yeah,
and he can utilise that, you know, going left and going right. But really, he made the wrong decision too many times, and I suppose really, you know, we're going into the end of the first 45 minutes, and there's a ball over the top, and he's done well, and his first touch, he's just got it underneath himself a little bit, but still, for me, the kind of calibre of player he is, he should be able to take that ball a little bit wider perhaps, and not allow the likes of Will Thornton to get back, because if he takes it wide, Thornton has to go across him. He's either going to win the ball, or he's actually going to foul him, and he's either on the edge of the area or the penalty area. He does neither. He carries it straight.
Yeah, he showed too much of the ball. Made it a lot easier for the defender in that situation. Yeah,
and it would have been a fair result going into half time, one apiece. Yeah. You know, there's no question about it. It would have certainly been justified, because two teams were quite evenly matched. The goal was fortuitous, to say the very least. I mean, I spoke to the management team here, the radio team here of Guiseley, and they say how Will Hatfield has actually claimed that, because it must have hit about 15 players before it eventually went in. And that was how, you know, fortuitous the goal actually was. But it will be interesting to get the thoughts of Dave. He's a very open and honest. The one thing, I mean, we can discuss here now ourselves is, you're in limbo, aren't you? As a caretaker manager, you're in limbo. You've been able to bring in two or three, four players, and you've done that very well. And you've got, you know, you can see that you've got players in there that you've brought in. Does the decision need to be made? Is it a decision that you have to make ultimately very quickly, so the team can settle, or do we have this prolonged sort of like process where we wait for the right manager and then bring them in? Or do we do, as I say, give the management job to, let's say, Chaddy, for instance, early now, and let him build the team in his own model and his own mind? Because we are at the bottom of the division, and sometimes making decisions later rather than sooner, you can be too far adrift before you've actually, you know, got where you want to be.
You know, sit here and look out onto the pitch, and the fans do the same. They look out, and we see them as a caretaker manager. But when you're a player, that's your manager. It doesn't matter whether they've been given the official title. You know, they're turning up, they're doing the work, they're the one telling you what to do. You know, they're the one that you see on the training ground, they're the one that's speaking to you. The philosophy that he's got, it is up to him now as the manager of the club. Yes, he's a caretaker because it's not been an official job for, you know, to be made permanent. I don't think, as a player that's played with varying managers, and we've had, you know, I've been involved in teams that have had difficult seasons, and we've had change of managers throughout, it never affected what happened, because you turn up to training and you'd be told this is what we're doing, and and this is how I want you to play. Dave Chadwick, he has picked the players that he wants to bring into the club, and he will be making those changes in their training and in the philosophy that he tells them how to play.
FC Live there on Saturday afternoon after the match. Swampy caught up with FC United caretaker manager David Chadwick.
Talk us through your thoughts first and foremost of this afternoon.
Straight away, man against boys from the first minute. They wanted it more. Even in the warm-up, you're trying to assess people and watch people and looking at, you know, the body language, and it was like you weren't up for it. And we've come quite a bit in the last 2 weeks. You were hoping for another response to kick up to that next step, but we've took one back down. And I can't say certain things, but I just said something, you know what, I don't care how much money people can be on. Work rate costs nothing, you know. Attitude costs nothing. Work rate, just outwork that man in front of you. I don't care who they are or what. If you can work harder than him, that's your battle. So look at yourselves individually, and if you think you've done a good job there and done what we asked you, then there's something not right.
A very different team talk then from Tuesday, which you were pleased with the large aspects of the game to this afternoon. I mean, from our perspective, watching the first 45 minutes, we thought it was quite an even contest. Obviously, you set out the team to play in a certain way, so you'll have your ideas and thoughts of if they're doing it in the right manner and what you're asking them to do so. But we thought the likes of Lewis Thompson in that first 45 minutes showed pretty exactly what you're looking in a player.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Attitude, application, work rate, injury or not.
He's a good kid.
And he showed a lot of quality, and it did seem to really make us suffer in the second half with him coming off. I'm sure he wanted to play the rest. He couldn't in the end.
He turned his ankle after 20-25 minutes.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to come off. He was soldiering on. You know, credit to the lad. He did well. And we lost that balance sooner than he'd gone off. But, you know, even before that, they weren't keeping to the shape like we wanted. And we want him to be a bit braver. You know, they kept pulling wing backs in, so it was like a five. No, get the wing backs up. You mark that man, and you be brave. You don't need three on one at the back.
Just down this right hand side, he was up against Walker and Moyo.
Of course, yeah.
And he did a very, very sterling job there, because them two were linking up very, very well. Two players actually went off injured themselves in the game all the way through in the first 45 minutes, and then a goal. Hatfield scores, man of the match. I mean, you can see it. I mean, where we are, we can see it from this angle. From your angle, how did you see that?
It just looked sloppy marking. And there were people shouting, saying fouls. They said, I don't care about that, because he was first to the ball. They won the ball. They don't win balls. We win balls. And after that, it's irrelevant. The referee doesn't see whatever. It's a goal. You set yourself up. I changed the shape after about 30 minutes because we weren't brave. So I had to force the bravery and push people further up the pitch. And then half-time, we had a game plan. And then you come out making basic errors, which are so frustrating, because the 15 minutes what you've just had are so vital to talk about positions where you want people, what expect off one another, and then, you know, you slide them in for a second goal.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just see the deflation going, and the lads going, oh, here we go again. Well, not where's the leaders? Where's the leaders? So get your chest up and say, no, lads, we're still in this game.
The one thing in that first 45 minutes, the very end of that first 45 minutes, there's a ball over top on the shoulder of Willoughby. He's taking the ball straight on, rather than he's got a little stuck under his. He has, rather than just take it slightly wide, he's given the opportunity for the defender to get in there and win the challenge.
Yes. We did that all game.
That's where you're thinking. Well, he scored 5 goals this season for us. That's his bread and butter. He's going to get a yard in front of the defender, but he actually goes into the defender, and you know, we could have gone in and one all, and I think it would have been, as far as we're concerned, Paul, certainly, we would have been thinking, well, we were justified in that, because we saw what we saw, and I've not seen for FC for a little while. I did see, in my eyes, but again, because you've set them out in a certain way, I saw what seemed grit, determination, players wanting a little bit. We did, and I can understand what you're saying, you know, you want a bit of heart and you want a bit of battling. There was a number of incidents in the game, certainly the first 45 minutes, where players weren't going in for challenges. They were sort of like quite hesitant. Which again is not sort of like the mould that you want the players playing in, is it?
No. But it's like, more importantly, they're a big team. So straight away you're looking at weaknesses. You know, don't go long down the middle. Then we go long down the middle. Get the ball on the floor. Use the pace out wide. You know, quick, sharp, two touch, three touch. Get in behind them. I think we did it. Joel Logan come on it after 20 minutes from the end, he's burst down the white, put a great ball across Norza. Last 10 minutes late, and Egan's put a great little ball into, because he was brave, and he got on the ball, and he's cut the back four up. You wanted more of that. You know, play to our strengths. And I said, technically, you know, you're great players. You know, you're good on the ball, you've got pace. Use it. You know, use it out there. Don't cheat yourself and go long when we don't need to. And because we were getting a lot more solid back, like in training this week, we worked on that attacking side. And, yeah. You know, the midfielders need to be pushing more into the box. And you're getting the ball out wide, you expect your centre midfield to bust a gut and be at least on the edge of the box, picking the bits up. We were having too many touches. And, I mean, like, Kurt worked hard. You know, everyone has off days. I know that. But we just wanted the ball moving quickly and look after it a bit more. We give it away so cheaply when we were in good little areas. It's just frustrating because, like I said, we've just set our stall up, you know, and we're still in the game. We're still in the game and we can worry them. And we showed the lack of pace in the defence, where to hit it and work on the angle. And then you go 2-0 down, but then it's a question of, you know, mentally players letting themselves just... You know, Harry Winter covered every blade of grass there. He's not played for three weeks and he still kept going and going and going, you know. And I had to take him off for his own sanity because I just thought he'd...
Well, we said that, didn't we?
We said managerial,
he's brought him off for two reasons. Yeah. He's blowing a little bit, but he'll still play for the rest of the game.
But I wanted 90 minutes out of him.
But he's also on the booking and you could see the frustration in him.
And rightly so. You know, he's got the armband on and he's leading the team. And they're not doing what we ask. He's putting a shift in.
So how do we? I mean, you know, the result's now gone. And there's no point talking about the third either. But how do we put it? How do you get that mentality within the players of winning, of attitude and minds? How do you now instill that in the players? There's a lot of young players in the squad.
It's all back to the training ground, you know, and you know, seeing who's up for it. You're going to have a conversation. We've had a conversation there, and. You know, you're waiting for a response from your leaders, from your seasoned non-league players, so to speak. Because a lot of these young uns, they've not been around this kind of atmosphere like young lads from Blackburn and Donoghue, you know. They're looking for a response from the people who've been around. And you're going to go into training this week and you're going to try and build confidence. As a manager, you've got to look at all that and you've got to treat everyone differently. And, you know, it's my job now to put the pieces up.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, already in my head, I know what I'm going to be saying to one person, saying to another person, and building that belief back in them, you know.
Well, we're going to have to build it quickly, aren't we? Because, you know, next Saturday is Colne.
Totally different game to today. You know, these are a young, fast, hungry side, just like we are. Mm. So, you know, it's a totally different game. They're going to look at us today and go, oh, they've been beat 3-0. They're there for the taking. You know, that's what they're going to say. There's no pressure on them. Go and enjoy it. And work, and we will get some out of this game. So we've got to instill that fear into them early doors in the game. We've got to keep that ball and make them worried about us. So you know, it's a tough game.
And how do you do that, though? I mean, as a manager, how do you instill it in such a short period of time? How do you instill it in those players that have had poor games today, haven't done what you've said? You've got a finite resource, i.e. you haven't got a huge squad you can choose from, so therefore you can't pick and choose who you want in there. Some of those players will be thinking, well, I'm playing regardless next week because you haven't got the squad. How would you make them realise, without giving them a verbal rollicking, obviously, and all the rest of it, but how do you instill it in them? What?
It's just making them believe in themselves, because they're going to come in on Tuesday and they're going to be like, oh, you know, it's training and we're going to go and run. It's not all about, you know, fitness is still down, but you know, I think we looked a bit unfit today because we were chasing the ball because we kept giving it away. It was a different type of tiredness today. You don't keep that ball. You're running to get that ball back. So they've done a lot of work today without even knowing it. So it's about going into training and, you know, not having a laugh as such, but making the atmosphere buoyant and, you know, having a few little games and just getting them to believe in themselves, working on little bits that they're good at and making them understand how important they are to the actual squad. Because the squad's not big. You look at, in the last 2 days, I lost three players. All three players had a play today. You know, twice we have to change tactically, player-wise. And like I said, we're not got a big squad. You know, I was worried about the midfield today because Scott had to have a test today. Harry Winter's not played a lot. Mike Jones hasn't played a lot. So between the three of them, there's not really 90 minutes there.
Yeah.
So I brought young Leighton in as well. just to try and back that up, because he's a young, enthusiastic player.
And his first touch in the game.
Confident.
We thought before, now look, that lovely back flick, absolutely beautiful. Yeah. But you can see, as you said, Paul, you know,
we'd like to see more of him.
He's a good young lad. You know, he got released from Burnley in the summer. I actually saw him at the exit trials and put his name down for us to pursue for this year.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, it didn't happen. But then he come down to the trials himself. So he's one that was earmarked and thought he's got potential. And that hunger that he's got, and I mean, he lost it a few times, but you know, he was being brave on the ball, and we needed more of that from the people around him.
FC United caretaker manager David Chadwick there speaking to our very own Swampy. To hear now where that defeat leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results in the National League North, it's over to Marv Willers now for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, that defeat for FC United leaves the Reds second from bottom in the league table, 1 point ahead of Nuneaton, who were also defeated at the weekend, in their case up at Spennymoor. Also joining Nuneaton and FC in the bottom three are Southport. The Lancashire club did pick up a point on Saturday though, a solid 0-0 against Darlington. And speaking of the North East, 1 point ahead of FC and sitting just outside the relegation zone therefore, we have Blyth Spartans, who suffered a 2-0 defeat against Leamington. A tad higher up the table, and it really has been a tremendous start to the season for Chorley. 3-1 winners over Alfreton in their latest outing sees the club with the best butter pies in the league out in front by a rather impressive 9 points. The team fronting the campaign to keep Chorley in the division is Kidderminster. They moved into second spot following a 3-0 win over York City. Telford sit in third following a 1-1 draw with Stockport County, while Bradford Park Avenue lost ground up at the top end following a 3-2 defeat against Altrincham. Hereford's start to life without former manager Peter Beadle started swimmingly, losing 2-0 to Ashton United, while it finished Boston United 0, Chester 2. And that concludes this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Farewell.
Thanks, Marv. Next up for the Reds will be a return to Broadhurst Park this coming Saturday as FC United host MPL side Cone in the second qualifying round of this season's FA Cup. The match will be pay on the gate with a 3 p.m. kickoff. But as always, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. FC United are calling on all supporters to get involved in the BP Boost, a development fund initiative set up to help raise much needed funds to assist the club in clearing its outstanding debts. BP Boost has been established to encourage all supporters to try and raise £20 a month any way they can. So if you'd like to get involved in the BP Boost, please email vinnie.thompson@fc-utd.net for your fundraising pack, leaving your name and address. Make no mistake, every penny counts. So join the BP Boost Drive today. Thank you. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United kicked off their league campaign at Broadhurst Park as the Reds hosted current league leaders Fleetwood Town Wrens. It's over to WT Live now to hear how Luke Podmore's side got on.
And Fleetwood clear it down the line, but that's going to be easy for Carrington. Carrington to Greenall, infield it goes to Dale. Dale finds Foster outside of a foot, finds Chambers now, oh it's opening up here, Chambers checks inside, goes one way, goes another, breaks for battle, he shoots. Yeah! 3 minutes on the clock here, Kirsty Chambers going one way, going another, the tackle was made, the ball broke to Jess Battle. And well, as soon as he got to her, there was no doubt really where that ball was heading, Paul.
No, she opened her account last week with two goals in the cup tie, and that's opened a league account. And the shot went under the body of the keeper. I don't think she recognised how quick it was heading towards her. It was well struck. It's certainly been a mass defence kind of scenario for most of the first half for Fleetwood.
Yeah, I mean, the manager will be happy. It's only 1-0 at the moment. It's a throw-in to FC United on the left-hand side. Throw-in taken. Here's Fields, back to Carrington. In it comes. Not many players in that Fleetwood box there, and it's cleared. Only as far as Greenall. Foster now out to the left hand side again to Carrington. He's got time to pick across. In it goes. Oh, it's an own goal. It's an own goal. And it was a great ball in from Abby Carrington. And it hit the head of a Fleetwood Town player. And it just went right over Fleetwood's goalkeeper, Sarah Cook, there. And on 43 minutes, Paul, it's 2-0.
I think it was Loz Wilcox, the captain, number 7.
But 58 minutes on the clock. Free kick to FC United. Hannah Dale over this. Four players in the wall. Looks like it's about 10 yards out. It's nearly central. And it comes.
Yes.
Bottom corner. Goalkeeper had a chance to palm it wide. Spilt it into the net. And, well, Hannah Dale on 58 minutes makes it 3-0, Paul.
I think Hannah Dale's deserved a goal. She worked very hard in this game and she's been creating more than trying to for herself. But yeah, that's, I think Luke's delighted now with the 3-goal cushion. That's the comfort zone now.
And down the line the ball goes. Fleetwood with possession now in their own half. Over the top it goes, and comfortable for FC United. Gemma Jackson.
They've been living on 29% possession, Fleetwood.
McCarrick forward to Foster. Foster on the halfway line. Finds Fields. Fields to Chadwick. Chadwick now on the right hand side, crosses this ball in to Battle. Battle could turn. Battle opens up a body. That's going to break. Shot comes in. Goal.
It's Corey Mather, I think.
And good news for our listener in Crete. It was indeed Corey Mather. And FC United take a 4-0 lead, Paul.
Goal for FC United of Manchester, scored by number 7, Corey Mather.
We're not really surprised because the whole of the second half has been pitchily played out in front of the SMRE.
McCarrick to Foster. Foster now for FC United. Played forward. O'Keefe is onside. O'Keefe rounds the keeper. 5-0. And well, it hit the back of O'Keefe and she went, oh, here's the ball. And rounds the Fleetwood goalkeeper. And it's simple as that, Paul.
I think she was wondering whether she was offside or not momentarily and thought, well, There's no shout here, there's no whistle, so I'll just round the keeper and stick it in the goal.
77 minutes on the clock and a more round number there for FC United. Throwing taken, here's Foster now. Foster down the line it goes to O'Keefe. O'Keefe, nice turn there, and a through ball. Finds Battle. Battle's onside. One on one, shoots, bottom corner, 6-0 the score.
Well, a feeling of inevitability, I think.
Jackson plays the ball out. This right hand side to Hannah Dale. Dale to Foster. Greeno back in field it goes to Foster. Foster now. Long ball down the line for O'Keefe to chase onto. And O'Keefe's going to get this ball. Not many players in the Fleetwood box. O'Keefe holds it. O'Keefe to the back post. McCarrick's header. And well, we like to say cherry on the cake on Women's Team Live. Jess McCarrick providing this afternoon. 7-0, Paul.
And what a simple goal it was. Made again by
O'Keefe.
Made again by O'Keefe, who
number 17, Jess McCarrick,
chose to flick the ball past the defender on the byline there, and instead of putting the crossing, improved the position for the cross. And as Jess McCarrick does sometimes, gets in the right place at the right time. Good header from close range. Sarah Cook, no chance.
And that was scored in the fifth minute of added time. Full time at Broadhurst Park. 7-0 the score. An unbelievably dominant display from FC United. 18 shots on target, 14 shots off it.
Nothing for Fleetwood.
Nothing at all from Fleetwood Town Wrens, who were top of the league coming into this game. Just FC United have blown them away, Paul.
Just to put it in context. We're playing against the league leaders and we've taken the field and just ran them ragged. And this is a side who obviously came here with great hopes, having got a good win in one of their earlier games, and we've just wiped the floor with them. And it's the second half was just a complete encampment in the Fleetwood half of the field. It could have been many more, and we've got to give credit to Sarah Cook in the Fleetwood goal. She's made some good saves. Of course, you know, we've scored 7, but there are 18 shots on target. But what a comprehensive performance. And the other thing is the encouraging newcomers that have come in. Corey Mather playing on both wings. Shauna Jane coming forward whenever she could. You've got Chadwick, you've got O'Keefe coming on in the second half. They've all gelled very well, and then you've got the old hands, Fran Davis immaculate at the back. The midfield again dominant. An absolute all-round performance, and I'm sure Luke is delighted with that as the first league outing.
I mean, if you talk about the standout players, it was a team effort. And like you say, the substitutes as well added something. It was just so dominant. I mean, that's something to build on, isn't it, for the season to come?
I suspect that if that's the portent of what's to come in this season, there's going to be a lot of sides coming to Broadhurst Park and going home very unhappy, because this is a big test for anybody coming here. There's no doubt about it. I think this is going to become a fortress for the women's team, this stadium. And away from home, again, you know, they're up against it. It's going to be very, very interesting, because word will get out about this game. There's no doubt about it.
It was interesting. I think word got out about this game to begin with, because the way Fleetwood Town set up, it was very reminiscent of some teams at this level we played before, and they were expecting to be beaten.
I'm not sure if it was damage limitation from the kickoff, but it was certainly a cautious approach. And whether they thought they could weather the storm and creep into the game and get more offensive as the game went on, maybe, I don't know. But an early goal from Jess Battle just broke the plan completely, really. And from that point on, it was a matter of when we were going to increase our lead. And they did hang out for about 40 minutes there at 1-0. And I suppose from their point of view, they were getting close to half-time at 1-0 and they had a bit of belief. But, of course, you look at the final score now, and the second half was a rampage, wasn't it?
It's not just the early goal in the first half. It's the own goal right at half-time.
That was damaging psychologically.
That just sends you off the edge, really. And then in the last 20 minutes, Luke's making these substitutions where,
Fresh legs.
McCarrick's coming on, O'Keefe's coming on, Chadwick's coming on. Yeah. These aren't just substitutes. These are battering rams. And when the fitness levels tell, it was like an avalanche at the end, and that's what we saw throughout last season. And there's no secret to this; it is all about fitness.
And I think also that Luke will be mindful that there are going to be a lot of sides coming here, probably defensive minded, trying to put up a similar shield, and we're going to have to break them down. And today was a very good example in breaking down mass defence. To be fair to the players, it wasn't easy, but they just wear teams down. We've seen this many times.
110 the attendance here this afternoon, and when word gets out, that attendance is going to go up.
And well, I'd like to think that some of the fans that came here for the first time today will come back. For those of you who haven't come to watch the women's team, the bar is open. That's a facility you've got, and you're certainly going to see goals. So no matter what you see on a Saturday, you can come on a Sunday and watch the women, and you will be entertained.
Play the match.
I do like the look of Corey Mather, I must say. That's one of the names that come to mind. I don't know if you've got somebody in particular.
You know what I was thinking? That trio in midfield, I know Fields went off.
Yeah.
But Foster was so... I don't know how many touches Foster had this afternoon.
She must have touched
the ball more than anyone else on that pitch combined.
She just bosses it.
Yeah.
Without any frills, it's just I win the ball, I distribute it, I move on. And it's so effective. But, we've talked about Liv Greenall a lot as well. I mean, there's somebody who puts effort in for the full 90.
And isn't it telling that, when we started Women's Team Live a few years ago now, Kirsty Chambers was the standout player. Kirsty Chambers can be substituted now. And he's just, it's all on the same level. Everyone is just quality on the pitch wearing red.
The strength of the team, like you said, is beginning to show in that if she doesn't play in a game even, or plays in half a game or some of a game, it's like a machine that just carries on, and they're just pouring forward with or without her. With her, of course, you get the extra quality, but without her, there's so many players that can come in and do jobs now. I mean, Corey Mather played left wing and right wing, and it was seamless, wasn't it?
It really was. LiveTeamStats.com, a big thanks to Constructive Coding for providing that service. You can visit that website now and engross yourself with all the stats from this afternoon, namely 72% possession for FC United.
12 corners to nil.
What's that? That's
14 goal kicks to nil. That tells you where the ball was.
437 completed passes from FC United compared to Fleetwood's 168. It's just been so, so dominant. And a big congratulations. What a way to kick off Women's Team Live for the 2018-19 season. Next up, it's Women's FA Cup action next Sunday as FC United take on Uterbridge
in Sheffield
War Memorial Ladies. And that game will be taking place somewhere in South Yorkshire. At time of recording, we don't know where that game is going to be taking place, but have a look at the website or the FC United Women's Team Twitter feed in the week for more information. But hopefully we'll have coverage of that game next Sunday live here on FC Radio. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you to Neil Boob for joining us at halftime. But from everyone here at Women's Team Live, here live on a Sunday at Broadhurst Park in the main stadium, it's finished FC United and Manchester 7, Fleetwood Town Wrens 0. Farewell.
Okay, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and winger Corey Mather, who got one of our goals as well. In a quite comfortable 7-0 performance, I think, against the Wrens today.
Yeah, we didn't really know what to expect, so we needed to make sure we were at our best. And I said to the girls before the game, I said, you know, we need to go out there and play it like we don't have any information on these, like how good they are. So we've just got to make sure we're focusing on ourselves. And I think first half we were maybe a little bit nervous. I don't know what. But when we get the second goal, I think half time came at a good time for them, but not a good time for us. But the second half performance was outstanding. Yeah, to score five more was brilliant. So
yeah, absolutely. We sort of pressed it home, whereas I don't think we did in the first half as much. We sometimes letting balls go astray a little bit, but it seemed to gel a lot more. Did you find that good on the wing today, Corey? Because you seem to be going past people like they were just statues today.
Yeah, plenty of space to just run around them, do a bit of skills, get around them, get the ball into the box, create opportunities for other players.
So a nice wide pitch would suit you as a winger then, so it gives you plenty of space to get crosses in or maybe just jump in yourself as well.
Yeah, it's always better to have a wider pitch, more freedom.
Absolutely, yeah. So that was about as good as we could have hoped for today against what was temporarily the top of the league prior to today, Fleetwood. But we can only plan to go forward. I mean, these clean sheets are excellent. We can hope that we continue that next week in the FA Cup against Uterbridge.
Yeah, I said before the game, like, no one in the league up to now, even after today's results, have just looked as kept a clean sheet. Everybody's conceded, so we're the only team in the league at the moment that's not had a goal conceded against us. So We always base our game on keeping a clean sheet, because you only need one goal to win a game, don't you? Not five or six like other teams are needing. So yeah, we'll be no different next week. We're going to the FA Cup, we'll want a clean sheet. I know it's cup football, but we're still very, very defensive in terms of, you know, the way we win the ball back and the way we play our game. So yeah, we'll go in there with full confidence again, not knowing what's going to come the other way. But in a way, that's a nice thing, because it brings the best out of everybody without having any preconceptions about, you know, how, you know, obviously last year it was difficult because we knew teams might be a little bit lower standard. But this year it's good because we don't have that sort of to fall back on. So there's no complacency, really.
No, there shouldn't be, I suppose, either. I mean, I know you changed it from like four at the back to three at the back. It was almost like one at the back was needed today with just Fran holding. I mean, there was no pressure because, you know, they didn't even have any shots on net. And there was a few people around me thought Fran had a really good game. But I'm glad you brought Corey out, because I thought she was my man of the match. I thought she was absolutely wonderful the way she just settled. After about first 20 or 30 minutes, she just really seemed to run the wings. And it was frightening then, because they didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, and there was three people for that position today, for Corey's position, and I picked Corey because I believe in her, and you know, she gave a performance that was you know, worthy of starting, definitely. And you know, the finish on the goal was outstanding. You know, I've seen many of them go over the bar in the past last year when, you know, just thought, oh, we're falling and look falling, you know, just take it. She really concentrated and focused on it, and I'm just happy that she did really well and she enjoyed it.
Yeah, you must enjoy getting a goal. It's always nice getting a good performance. I mean, a win's primarily the thing you need, but it's always nice getting a goal, isn't it?
Yeah, getting that goal, it boosts my confidence as well. Now it's boosting my confidence for the next game. Just get more next game.
Well, that's it, yeah. Well, get yourself. Have you scored in the FA Cup before? Have you played in it?
I have played in the FA Cup before, yeah, but I haven't scored. Well, so maybe that's my chance.
Maybe next week, who knows, right? So we're off to Uterbridge. Come and join us all. It's not far from Stocksbridge. I'm sure plenty of our fans have been there before. Yeah. It's only about an hour away. Come down and join a bit of FA Cup fun.
Yeah, great to see you there. Cheers, Neil.
Thank you.
Thanks, Neil. That's it for This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30pm and 7pm on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05pm on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.